was used. If they don't use it based on scripture, it's not going to be a good decision. The U.S. Constitution is at least loosely based on scripture. And if people will follow the morality of it, chaos and anarchy will result. It was called the Great Experiment back in the day. Still is. October 1798, John Adams, you know that name? President number? Those. 1798, he wrote, our Constitution was written. Actually, he said it was made, but written something. It was written for a moral and religious people. You see where it says separation of church and state? The Constitution was for moral and religious people, and it is wholly inadequate to the government of any other kind of person. If you're not moral and religious, our Constitution doesn't work because it's based on God. Granted, a lot of the framers were deists, but still, it was God. It was someone above themselves. Not out of their own heads, they make up this stuff. I just mentioned the black lives, white lives, red lives, yellow lives matter. You can point at somebody and say, yes, you're a person of a different color, you're a person of a different ethnic group, and say, because of that, you're born that way, I hate you. Okay, that's wrong. Right. Everybody agree that's wrong? I hope. Not seeing me after class when I don't lecture you. But now what you do is becoming something which is hateful. Cops, your lives matter. And so do docs and nurses and firefighters and mail carriers, plumbers and electricians and even preachers. Seems like what a person does for a living devalues their life. In fact, you know, it's kind of like the 3% of bad lawyers give all of them a bad name. You all know that, right? There really is a very low percentage of bad, evil lawyers, but they give everybody, all of them. Oh, you're an attorney? Sorry, attorneys are good. Oh, you're a lawyer? You're a lawyer? When we lived in Minnesota, I learned another definition of the word lawyer. It's actually a kind of fish. Seriously. And it belongs in the same family as catfish. And you throw them back because they're absolutely worthless to eat. Anybody here from Minnesota that knows that? Or Iowa or Michigan, they're growing up in there too. But it's a lawyer. But we all pick on lawyers, mostly in fun. But in reality, some people have gotten to the point where what you do makes you evil. Politicians and sycophants have always been fair game. That's probably not a politically correct expression, fair game. It implies hunting. And of course, hunters are bad. I don't hunt. I get my meat in public where no animals are hurt.
That was actually sad.
Yeah, I know. Some people just don't get it, though. No. But even pastors are immune. Can you believe that? Even pastors get that. Now, y'all gotten to know me and Andrea a little bit over the last month or so. And I want to take a second here, a little side trip, and just say thank you for welcoming us. And you've been treating us like family, which means that you ignore us and insult us just for no reason. No, you have welcomed us and you have been treating us like family in a very stressful time.
Thank you.
I mean, not only stressful because of the whole COVID thing, but because of you, I'm sure they have. And, you know, because we have Pastor Steve in our lives, and it's been stressful for you, and we really appreciate the fact of your contact with us. We enjoyed being here. We've missed being part of a church because we've not been a functioning, active part of a church in over a year. And we've been doing something that we hate to do. We're just church hopping. We'll go to this church, we'll go to that church, things like that. And we felt very appreciated here. And I want to thank you, and Andrea, do you want to say thank you?
Thank you.
She didn't know I was going to say that, so she had to say thank you. And she did. She actually said to me she's really missed being part of the church. And we do thank you for bringing us into your family over the last month or so. But, okay, here we go, not being immune again. We're back on track. And I'm going to show you my signs. And by the way, having a preacher stand up here and saying, you know, you really should vote for Donald Trump because, or you really should vote for Joe Biden because, it's not illegal. It's perfectly allowable. You said you got to be careful how you say it. And again, I'm not going to implore you to vote for either one of these guys. But if I just held this one up, would that surprise any of you? If I held this one up, would that surprise any of you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
well,
that's the size of cake you get later.
Oh, that what it is? Now, I just want to make one thing perfectly clear. You recognize that phrase from history? I would not endorse either one of these guys for president. I am and always have been and always will be, more than likely, a registered independent. When I became 18 and first tried to register to vote, they wouldn't let me vote my party or register my party. I tried to vote or register as a Christian communist. As in the apostles in the beginning of Acts, they were. It's the only, by the way, communism is the perfect form of government. The only problem is it doesn't work. Because people are people. The only time in history that communism ever worked was early on in the church, in the book of Acts, when the apostles all got along and they shared everything and did things for the good of everybody. That was communism, and it worked. They wouldn't let me do that. They wouldn't let me be a Christian socialist, or they wouldn't let me be a Christian anything. So I wound up registered as an independent, and I still am. But I am going to endorse the idea of voting. You got to vote. If you don't vote, you can't complain.
Right.
And I'm going to say, vote for whomever you believe to be the best person to run the country. But here's the kicker. You got to base that on the person you think would be the best to run the country as God would want it done. Because God is the authority. You know, one of the really great things about the Reformation is before, in the 15th century, you had God. Then you had the Pope. Then you had cardinals and bishops and priests, and finally you had people. With the Reformation, all of a sudden you got rid of all that stuff. You had people and you had God, like it's supposed to be. Again, Martin Luther. Don't you remind you who he was? Priesthood of all believers. We all go directly to God. Yes, we have a mediator in Jesus, but Jesus is God, so what's the difference? As long as the temporal authority obeys God's dictates, at least as far as humanly possible, then we should follow and support those leaders. And when they fall from that path, then we got to follow God and ignore them regardless of the consequences. Have you ever made a decision or done something that you knew was the right thing to do, that God told you to do, that caused you negative consequences, that hurt you? Not that way. Hurt you financially or emotionally or whatever. It messed up your life because you did what God wanted you to do. Messed up your life is in quotes because it doesn't. Might seem so for a while, but it doesn't. If something doesn't come to mind right away, think about it. If something still doesn't come to mind, go home and think about it and think some more. And if nothing ever comes up, well then, call me. Seriously, you can call me. I was going to offer to have you call Steve, too, but since he's not here, well, I want to. Or call Steve, yeah. Well, since he's not here, I'll put him on there. Call Steve and tell him, because you need to get your priorities straight. If you're not ever making decisions that make you in a bad situation because you're doing what God wants you to do against what the culture says you should do, guess what? You're not doing what's right. Edmund Burke, in a letter addressed to Tom Mercer in 1770, wrote this, and I know you've all heard this one. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing and for good women to do nothing. We got to do something. We cannot just sit back. And sometimes we got to do what looks like it might go against Scripture, like Thoreau said in Civil Disobedience. We've got to go against the authorities when the authorities are wrong. And at least some small ways, y'all have already done this, because guess what? We're meeting here in a church house. Yeah, no, it's not a church house, because right now it's like, this is the church. I'm looking at the church. We're not in the church. You are the church. And it's against the recommendations of authority, but you've been doing it mostly safely. You're almost all distance apart, and you're wearing masks when you should be, and at start. Tony Perkins. No, he doesn't own the restaurants. He's the president of the Family Research Council. Was interviewed by Todd Starnes the other day. Who knows who Todd Starnes is? Well, I bet you all watch or listen to Fox News. Todd Starnes, a commentator, and Tony told him that pastors, and I'm going to add everybody else, need to stand up to state-imposed, I'm going to add possibly illegal, coronavirus restrictions and reopen the doors of the churches. People will travel long distances to get to a church they know is open. You know, the six churches here, they're all closed. There's number seven, 20 miles away. If they want to go to church, they're going to drive that 20 miles. Because they need to experience the power of worship and the fellowship with other believers. Perkins pointed out the hypocrisy of California. And we all know how wonderful the legislatures are in California. They allowed wineries and restaurants to open 50% capacity. Nevada allowed casinos to reopen at 50% capacity. Churches and synagogues are still closed. Believe it or not, most of the Islamic folks have ignored it. They've gone to their mosques anyway. They've done stuff out in their parking lots rather than going inside. It's time to do the godly thing, to stand up to the bad authority, as long as we do it as God would want it done. I believe we need to start doing it with precautions. We can't just go out and do it because. And I'm not promoting the idea of all of us getting sick and I'm not afraid to be dead. I hope none of you are afraid to be dead. I don't want to be dying. I've gone through the dying process once. Ain't fun. I have two more things to share with you, and then I'll shut up and I'll go along again. I never preach this long. Do I ever preach this long? Okay. I always preach this long. You want me to go in or you want me to stop here? You want me to stop? I gotta stop. Okay, I'll make this really quick. One is, if we don't change things, it might become permanent. Because we're already doing things by Zoom, which is personally impersonal. In fact, our national gathering this year is going to be done virtually. No schmoozing, no networking, no nothing.
So is all sales.
Yeah. Jeffrey Walton from the IRC talked about the BCUSA and Presbyterian Church USA, the liberal group. They're talking about not ever doing anything together again because they can't afford it because so many people have left because of their liberal status. So, what's the relevance here? Sometimes saying no to the authorities is the right thing to do. You gotta do it. Even if they're appointed by God, those people can go off the rails. It happens in the church too, PCUSA, ELCA, RCC, you name it. And we gotta resist the people in power that go off the rails and stand up for God. And ignore the immediate response, because ultimately it will